and we church, we today, Hope Bible Church, we join this request. Lord, would you teach us to pray? Teach us to pray or we're dead. Teach us to pray, we don't make it. Teach us to pray, we cannot persevere. Teach us to pray, our marriages, they just won't go. Teach us to pray again, family and kids and future and all we seek to do for Christ. Not gonna happen, Lord, teach us to pray. Please, Lord, teach us to pray. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light. I wanna shine like the stars in the heaven. Oh, Lord, be my light and be my salvation. Cause all I want is to be in the light. Yeah. All I want is to be in the light.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Live in the Light. Thank you, as always, so much for making Live in the Light a part of your day. Hey, today we're continuing on in our series entitled No Turning Back. It's a series that calls us to look forward to the glory, the person, and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to fix our eyes upon Him. And we've been asking the question throughout this series, well, how do we walk this way? Pastor Robbie's joining me in our studio today. And Robbie, as we begin, I want to turn things over to you because we're getting a new thing today that teaches us how to walk in this kind of faithfulness.
Yeah, I mean, Craig, again, no turning back. That is the call of our day. That is the necessity for the Christian life. I've decided to follow Jesus Christ. It's amazing, Craig. Just in the days we live in, you kind of look around. We were just talking even before we came on air today. And the different burdens, you know, the overwhelming sense of darkness at times, and you can kind of get so overwhelmed with all that's happening. And I find myself personally just like, when I don't know what else to do, the thing that I turn to is prayer. And that just feels safe, Craig. It just feels so right and so good to be like, man, this is who we should be. This is how we should be. And dependence and prayer in the Lord. And that's exactly what Jesus teaches us today. In fact, a sermon title called The Profundity of Prayer. Prayer can so often be undervalued. It is just powerful as we pray to the one who can when we admit we can't. So again, this is not new, but it is so very true. And I pray that this message on prayer would reignite your faith to believe in how much we need. Man, we have to be a church that prays as much as ever. It's only going to be the Lord. And so prayer will be the difference maker. So Craig, excited to have our people exposed again to an essential message and lesson on prayer today from Jesus.
Wonderful. Well, again, this series that we're in is called No Turning Back. And as Robbie said, the title of today's message is called The Profundity of Prayer. So if you can, would you join us in Luke 11 and let's join up again with Pastor Robbie and today's message.
Father, we continue to pray to you because we must. Father, hallowed be your name. Father, perfect heavenly Father, the Father who infinitely cares for his children, perfect Father, the all-wise Father, the Father with limitless strength. Hallowed be your name today. If anything else happens, Lord, I pray, hallowed be your name, revered and honored, adored. Please, Lord, I pray, every life, every heart, every home represented here now, I pray there's a path and trajectory and progress towards understanding this is about you. Oh, Father, would you help your children today? Help your children today. Where they are right now, I pray for the tears that have already been shed during the service and so many different places. I pray for the pains and aches of hearts, Lord. I pray that they would be met by their Father who knows, their Father who sees, their Father who cares, their Father who loves. May it be so. Take today, Lord. We are about to hear the commands from your Son that are absolutely essential if we are going to persevere in the times that we live, absolutely essential. And so I pray you will speak. It's not new, Lord, but it is very, very true. And may it be powerfully lived in each life. Oh, Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. We pray now together. Again, Father, hallowed be your name. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. It was Robert Murray McShane who said, if you wish to humble a man, then ask him about his prayer life. You want a humbler man or woman, ask them about their prayer life. And so that's exactly what Jesus is going to do with us today. He will ask us about our prayer life. He will ask us as a church about the prayer life in our church. He will ask us as men, as women, as children. He will ask us about our prayer life because he knows without prayer, we don't stand a chance. One of the single greatest characteristics of those who persevere is going to be found in those who pray. It really is that simple. It's not easy, but it is that simple. It's because prayer, as Oswald Sanders says, he says, prayer is the Christian's vital breath. Prayer is the Christian's native air. Just think for a second. Think of the role of prayer in the early church. Massive. Think of the power of prayer for the Christian life. Massive. Think of the necessity of prayer in these last days. The necessity, the essential nature of prayer in our last days. How can you overstate that? Hence, our title today is this, the profundity of prayer. The profundity of prayer. Truly prayer, so profound. Holy Spirit, today, convince us of this truth. Convince us of the very truth and the theology that is so clear that prayer is absolutely profound and essential. In my mind, this lesson today in our series, No Turning Back, 10 Essential Life Lessons, again from Jesus for the last days, this lesson today is top two for sure. Top two, if not one. Why? Simply because it's prayer that fuels every other lesson we hope to live out. If we do not pray, nothing else is going to happen. It's what we learn today again. It's prayer that calls on the power of the Holy Spirit to do the very things we can't. Prayer, so simple, so powerful. And one of the dangers of today, or one of the frustrations, or one of the challenges of today, is as we begin and as we begin to say these words on prayer, almost all of us are nodding our heads. Almost all of us are not going to disagree with this. But then why then so few of us actually living it out? That's the problem. And that has to be the difference maker. It's hard to find a Christian you go up to that doesn't say they believe in prayer. Yet it's hard to find believers in the plenty who are living it out with true vitality and sincerity. Holy Spirit, would you change that today? I can't do it. He can. God help us. Again, familiar passages, but I pray will have profound impact on us. Luke chapter 11 is where we're at. Please open your Bibles wherever you are. Luke chapter 11, again, I encourage you, apply some positive Holy Spirit peer pressure on those around you. I encourage you, give someone a hard time without a Bible. Maybe be gracious about it, but at the same time, you know, put some good pressure on for them to see a Bible in front of them. Luke chapter 11. We're going to be looking at 13 verses, Lord willing, but let's start, of course, at verse 1. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now Jesus was praying. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. This is really beautiful to me. Even as I read that right there, man, it just impacts me. Jesus is praying. The disciples are watching. Jesus finishes praying, and then our text says one of the disciples goes up to Jesus on behalf of the others and says, living the text here, man, just so beautiful, so interesting. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, would you teach us to pray the way that we're seeing you are praying? Teach us to pray. And we church, we today, Hope Bible Church, we join this request. Lord, would you teach us to pray? Teach us to pray or we're dead. Teach us to pray, we don't make it. Teach us to pray, we cannot persevere. Teach us to pray, our marriages, they just won't go. Teach us to pray again, family and kids and future and all we seek to do for Christ. It's not gonna happen. Lord, teach us to pray. Please, Lord, teach us to pray. And so what follows here is a wonderful outline regarding the profundity of prayer. Number one, church, we must have a proclivity towards prayer. We must have a proclivity towards prayer. Look at verse 2 now. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come,
Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. So notice in verse 2, the beginning, Jesus here says, when you pray, say. When you pray, say this, indicating, Jesus indicating here, this prayer is to be used as is. That's legit. It's okay to say this prayer as is, of course. However, in Matthew 6, the other text involving the Lord's Prayer, it's introduced like this, pray then like this. So Matthew 6 is indicating it's a model prayer to be used. Over time, the church has been blessed by both approaches, hasn't it? There's a beautiful prayer that we can say, sing. There's a powerful model to follow after, of course. Both are great. But again, our single greatest takeaway here is that we must pray. We must have a proclivity towards prayer as a church. Some have tried to make a distinction over the years to their own detriment. I've always loved this little antidote or anecdote on the screen for you. It says this, an old saint was asked, which is more important, reading the Holy Bible or praying? And he replied, well, which is more important to a bird, the right wing or the left? That's good. That's so true. Loved ones, I'm telling you, man, the top two things that we can do in terms of inviting the Holy Spirit to work in our lives is the word of God and prayer to God. It's prayer in the ministry of the word. If you do two things in your life, what the Holy Spirit is guaranteed to bless and fuel and allow you to know the strength. I mean, the Holy Spirit rushes. He wrote the word. And the Holy Spirit, of course, fuels prayer. We're going to see that at the end of our text. It's prayer in the word that leads to the power of God's Spirit within our lives. Why are so many Christians so weak? Because there's no word and no prayer. There's so many other things, so many other distractions, so many other pursuits, so many different ambitions. But you lose word and lose prayer, you lose power. And you're never choosing between the two. They go together. Even today, our text is doing that. It's the word of God on prayer to God, all combined together for the power of God and the glory of God. Back to our text. Notice verse 1 that Jesus himself is praying. Awesome. Jesus is fully God. Yet Jesus prayed. Amazing. Notice here too, the disciples observe Jesus praying. They've watched him pray on some level. They've watched him pray and they're like, wow, man, like that's powerful stuff. Like they're watching Jesus praying. They're watching him interact with his Father in heaven. And they're basically like, I got to get me some of that, right? Like they're convinced whatever he's doing and he's praying, this stuff works. We need to get into this mode too. They are witnessing this relationship of God the Son and God the Father, and they realize there's this massive power thing going on between the two and intimacy and love and relationship, and they're watching this, and they're like, we have to find out what this is all about. You know what's so interesting as well? Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach. That's interesting, isn't it? But he did teach his disciples how to pray. That's interesting, isn't it? Notice all the pronouns in the Lord's Prayer here. Notice they're all plural. Give us. Forgive us. Meaning this is a prayer that is meant to be corporate. It's no secret how passionate we are about corporate prayer here at Hope Bible Church. Just trying to be obedient what we've been asked to do by the Lord. Our church-wide prayer meeting is such a big deal. It has been for all these years, and we pray it will continue to be, and even more so as the time goes on. Lord willing, our next church-wide prayer meeting later on this month will be in person, please God, in person to pray to the one. Oh, listen, a prayerless church is a powerless church. So many churches have proven that over the years, haven't they? A prayerless church is a powerless church. We come to the Lord's Prayer, which of course is the prayer of prayers. Let's break this down into four main categories, which should not be new to you, but it's so good to be reminded of these things. On the screen, notice the four main categories. Number 1, it's a prayer of worship. I think we lose sight of how prayer is worship. I love how Brandon is called to worship today, just reminding us again, as we sing, we're praying. Prayer's worship. Father. Father in heaven. Intimacy right there. Now, one word. Father. Intimacy. Affection. Relationship. In that one word. Father. Worship. Hallowed be your name. Reverence, awe, veneration. A huge part of prayer starts here. We've been so impacted over the years by Dale Henderson's ministry on prayer and word. And his really whole frame of his prayer ministry is we must seek his face before we seek his hand. That's it right here. Seek the face of God before you seek the hand of God. So many believers seek the hand of God and never even seek the face of God. True prayer starts in worship, ascribing the worth the Lord is due, aligning our hearts and minds with the glory of God and getting our eyes off of self and onto him, and how all of a sudden life starts to come into focus as the way it should, as the Holy Spirit starts to bless and empower that, again, posture, position, and prayer. The Lord's Prayer is worship. Secondly, the Lord's Prayer is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Again, Daniel Henderson, he said this. He says, not all prayers are created equal. Love that. Not all prayers are created equal. It's very good. Why would we say that again? All of true life, all of eternal life is found in the kingdom of God. So when we pray, as Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, in one sense, we're praying this, Lord Jesus Christ, return now. Let your kingdom come. You come back to earth. You destroy sin. You gather us to yourself. Jesus Christ, return. Your kingdom come. And all God's people said, amen. Anytime, Lord, return, return. End this, in a good sense of that. Please, oh God, return. Let your kingdom come. Return now. Thinking about that a lot in recent days, are you? I hope so. But also there's let your kingdom come as let the kingdom of God be established here now. Save the lost. Let your kingdom advance. May righteousness increase. May lives be changed. May the kingdom of God take more and more ground in the days that we live. So we have right here, let your kingdom come, the already, let it be established, the not yet, the return of Christ. Let your kingdom come. So right here, this quote has floated around in our church over many years. On the screen for you, this is a great check. If Jesus answered all your prayers in the last 30 days, would anything change in the world or just your world? Let's leave that up for just a second or two. I want you to look at that. When our prayers, by what Jesus is teaching us, kingdom-based, if Jesus answered all your prayers in the last 30 days, what would change? Would anything change in the world or would it just be our own worlds? God forgive us. Worship, kingdom of God. And of course, the third category is dependence. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive our sins. Notice here the dependence on the physical. Again, loved ones, remember, every time you open your fridge, daily bread, man, daily bread. Every morsel that touches our tongue. It's the daily provision of God and grace. But notice the provision of the physical and the spiritual. Forgive us our sins. Who forgives sins? We don't. Someone beside us doesn't, only God does. Dependence upon God practically and spiritually every single day. The massive theme of prayer in dependence, how much God works through those who know they need him. The more we see ourselves for where we are, and the more we see ourselves for who we're not, and the more we see ourselves for what we don't have, the more we depend upon the Lord. God is near to the broken heart and saves the crushed in spirit. God dwells with the lowly. He is always working upon those who are dependent upon him. He opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. A massive part of prayer is the indication and telling God that we know how dependent we are. The last category of the Lord's Prayer here is protection. Protection. Lead us not into temptation. Matthew 6 includes, and deliver us from evil. Why? Because the devil is a roaring lion. He's seeking, he's on the prowl to destroy. This is why we must pray. Hey, can we just call it what it is right now, man? The work of the enemy in the last several months has been as intense as I remember. How about you? How about you? The massive attempts of Satan to divide. I mean, just even before the service started today, just sitting with the elders before we pray and having conversations with different people in this past season who are being led to severely divide again from other believers based on issues they confronted with in the past couple months. So angry. It's the work of Satan, man. Work of Satan. Seeking what? An opportune time. So it was interesting to me that when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and it says, and Satan left him until an opportune time. Right now, COVID, this season we've been, it's an opportune time. How many pastors I've talked to in areas of leadership and different situations that are happening, people are going off the rails for reasons we cannot explain or express. There's no rational explanation. People losing their minds, fueled by division as the work of Satan takes hold in the church. No wonder Jesus said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God help us. And God help us, church. You pray, you pray. Pray for this, that we would not be so unwise. That we would not be so unwise. You know, you take these four categories right here, and you imagine taking prayer. You imagine taking prayer out of our lives and out of this church. You take prayer out of these categories from your life. You don't pray in this way. You tell me what kind of chance you and I have in the last days. None. No chance. How many people are seeking to live for Jesus without prayer and worship, kingdom, penance, and protection? They don't pray. And so they don't last. And so much of what we're saying here today is such simple theological. It's just simple theology. Do you believe it or not? Do you believe prayer works? Do you believe without prayer you're dead? Do you believe you must depend on the Lord? Do you believe you can't do it? Only God can? If you say yes, 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 and yes, then every answer to those questions is prayer, 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 and prayer. Like, it's the only answer. You can't do it yourself. I can't do it. So the only response has to be that it's prayer, because only God can do it. And the greatest way we access the power of God is by prayer to God. Church, we must have a proclivity towards prayer. We must. And it's just that simple. It's so hard, isn't it? And yet it's that simple. Next, we learn this. Number two, we are strongly urged to be persistent in prayer. It's amazing. And so 13 verses here, it's all about prayer. Look what Jesus says in verse 5 now. And he said to them, he's building his doctrine of prayer with his disciples here. Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within his house, do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. This is such a great little parable. Let me just recap. So this man has an unexpected guest at midnight. His friend was probably traveling at night because it was cooler then. His supply of bread is gone. He goes to his friend's house. He knocks, it's late. Knocks, he says, I need 3 loaves of bread. The other man is already in bed with his children, very common for a one-room house in ancient times in this way. And if he were to get up, he would wake up all of his children and then his wife would be absolutely furious. We know how hard it is to get children to go to sleep at night, right? He wakes up and everyone else gets up. It's just gonna be a real problem there. The man in bed essentially says, go away, I'm tired. The kids are sleeping. I don't want to get in trouble with my wife. I can't get up again, leave me alone. But the friend is persistent. He will not give up. He continues to ask. And then the man finally is fed up. That's what the story is telling. He's like, oh, he's exasperated. And he relents. He gets up and he goes to get bread for his friend will finally be able to move on. Notice in verse 8 again, it's not the friendship for the reason for the answered request. The Bible specifically tells us that. He doesn't get up because he's his friend, but because of his impudence or his persistence, it finally pays off. Now, after reading this again this week, man, I really think some of my kids have read this parable and taken it to heart. Like, I really do. Because, man, some of my kids, who again will always remain unnamed, their persistence in asking is mind-blowing. It's like they just sit there in your ear. Dad, can I? Dad, can I? Dad, can I? Dad, can I? Just like, what? Just 1 second. Leave it. Dad, can I? And it just like, and you're just like, at the end of the day, you're just like, oh my goodness. And finally, if I say yes, will you stop asking? They're smart, I guess, huh? Whatever. And maybe I'm not so smart. It's amazing, the persistence. But that's the point of what Jesus is saying right here. If you have an ESV, you should have a footnote beside impudence. Where my Bible says, or persistence. And this word in the Greek for persistence or impudence literally is shameless. Shameless. So understand, it's the friend's shamelessness in his request that his request is met. That's amazing. Again, church, this is the example Jesus is giving to teach us to pray. Be so persistent in your request to the point of shamelessness in your knocking, in your asking, that eventually again, the person again, the Father you seek, he will have to relent based on the persistent nature of your unending desire and request for the things that you desire to have or the things that you think the Lord wants, again, you to do. Just amazing the example that Jesus Christ gives here. He's encouraging us to ask him to the point that he will finally have to relent. And just in case you're missing it, Jesus makes it unmistakable. Look at verse 9. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. This flows so nicely, doesn't it, from our situation of a parable of a home. And now we have ask, seeking, and knocking. What Jesus seems to be saying here, he says, if you come to my house at midnight, if you keep asking, I'll answer. If you keep seeking me, you'll find me. If you keep knocking, I will open the door to you. All the verbs here are continuous. Jesus is daring us to be persistent in prayer. Just want you to think about this. This is when we find out how serious we are about prayer. Doesn't it? You know, understand this too. Persistent prayer doesn't change God. Persistent prayer changes us. Notice that verses 9 and 10 are not a command. Rather, they are an invitation. They're an invitation to persistent prayer. I've always loved the progression here too. I mean, this is so intentional. You have asking, seeking, knocking. There's a increasing seriousness and fervency. You can kind of picture it as you're standing here and you're asking, and then you take another step in and you're seeking. So you've intensified the request, and then you come right up to the door and now you're knocking. Like, you're no longer standing at the, let's say, at the sidewalk asking. You move closer to the house and now you're seeking. You get right up to the door and now you start to demand by knocking. And Jesus says, I invite you to do so with me when it comes to prayer. This is why no person is greater than their prayer life.
Wow, well, a strong word from God's word today and a message of hope for all of us today. We pray that you receive that from the Lord today and your hearts are encouraged by that and you face this day delighting in the hope that's found in the Lord Jesus. That's all for today, listeners. Join us again next time here on Live in the Light. Oh, yeah. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light.